Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind Podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
No man will make a great leader who wants to do it all himself or get all the credit for doing it. Words of Wisdom by the late, great Andrew Carnegie. What's up, money makers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia. It is time to get excited. It's time to get pumped because you are on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented host, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly. But for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara. Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Adele from Long Island, New York.
Good morning, Adele. Great to hear you.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Elise in Atlanta.
Elise, what's up?
Good morning. Gus from Atlanta.
Hey, Gus, putting Atlanta on the map. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning, my friends. Rick from California.
Good morning, Rick. Not to let the West Coast be ignored.
Good morning.
Robert Beck.
Good morning.
Hey,
good morning in Kansas. Who is that?
Shirley's going to rock Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, glad to have you with us.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Anthony Williams from beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. And it is fired up Friday. Let's burn the roof off this mother.
Let's do it. I'm excited. We're glad you're here.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Amy in Las Vegas.
Hello, Aglo. Glad to have you on the line.
Good morning, Mahara.
Good morning, Lynette, Washington.
Was that Lori?
Yes, it is. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, love. We're glad you're here.
Good morning. I'm from Oakland, New Zealand.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Good morning. It's Pauline in California.
Hi, Pauline. We're so glad you're with us.
Minnesota's on the phone.
Minnesota. Keep warm and keep focused, baby. We're glad you're with us.
Oh,
good morning. Good morning, Mahara.
Good morning.
Jamie Free.
Who's that calling in?
Jamie.
Hey, Summer Jamie. Jamie. How are you?
Good morning. Awesome.
How are you?
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Arnita in Columbus.
Good morning, Mahara. Good morning,
hey,
Mahara. Elizabeth from Virginia.
Hey, Elizabeth. Hey, Arnita. Love you guys. We're glad you're here.
Good morning, Mahara.
You too.
Chanel in Colorado.
Hi, Chanel. Another Think and Grow Rich regular.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Charity from Bronx, New York.
Hi, Charity. How are you this morning?
Great. How are you doing?
Great this morning. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, this is Paul in Idaho.
Hey, Paul in Idaho on a Freedom Friday.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about, too.
Hey, Mahara, it's Q to the Rescue from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, beautiful QQ. Glad to have you on the line, baby.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Tony from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Tony, what's up?
Good to be here, I'll tell you that.
Good to have you here. Have you guys noticed there are just some people of amazing caliber on this call? I genuinely love talking to you guys every morning. Who else is with us?
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome. Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Karen from Washington.
Hey, Karen. Welcome to the call.
Santa Claus from North Pole.
Good morning, Santa Claus.
I just had to say that.
Hey, Larry. Welcome.
From Milford, Pennsylvania.
I was wondering what was taking Santa Claus so long to get on this call. I mean, that guy's got a big job, right? He needs reminded of his definite major purpose. He needs reminded to believe in himself, right? Too funny, guys. Hey, good morning. This is Paul Hutchings, dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho on this Freedom Friday, December 12th, 2014. It is, my friends, another great day to be alive. It is another great day to be looking forward into the future and being excited about life and being excited about the opportunities that are all around us to learn and grow, be the best that we can be, and step forward into financial freedom. Because like I saw in a Facebook post, I think it was last night or something, somebody mentioned, you know, nobody's going to do it for you. Was it Christopher Oshetti or someone on Facebook said, he says, guys, no, I think it was Christopher Oshetti, actually one of our Think and Grow Rich family members. He said, nobody's going to do it for you. And isn't that the truth? Isn't that an awakening that we can have when we realize that if it is to be, it's up to me? And you know what? We get on this call every day, Monday through Friday, to study the timeless principles of Think and Grow Rich, to study the philosophy of living and business and becoming the best that we can be, to study the success principles and to apply them into our lives. And it's something I'm excited about. And we're going to get moving right away on this call because we got a lot of stuff to cover. And you know what? I hope you're ready to be inspired. I hope you're ready to be lifted up. I hope you're ready to be moved, because that's my intention for the call today, and I believe that's what's going to happen. So, guys, are you pumped up on this Freedom Thrill Friday? Are you excited to be alive? Are you grateful that you can be free? Are you grateful to be able to step forward today and be the best that you can be? If you are, I want to hear you screaming into the line as I unmute the phones right now.
Freedom to empower myself and others.
Oh man, I can't get enough. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love you guys. I love never quitting. I love having a purpose. I love being here every day. I love being excited, guys. This is some good stuff. Hey, we're going to get rolling right off the bat this morning. We've got Andre Sanders, who's going to come out and lead us through our definite major purpose self-confidence formula. Andre, are you on the line? *6, and come on out if you're here, sir.
Yes, I am, Paul. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. You sound great. Thanks for being here today.
Man, appreciate you for having me do this. And hey, thank you, Rich fam. So let's get this started. By the first day of 2000, I will have my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will get the most efficient service to which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe I will have this in my possession. My faith is so strong, I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now being transferred to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I tend to render for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when it is received. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve out to my object, my definite purpose of life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts in my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves to physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I tend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means and obtain the object back of it. Therefore, I devote 10 minutes daily to demanding my self-development of self-confidence. Fourth, I've clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I'll never stop trying until I develop sufficient self-confidence for attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth or justice. Therefore, I'll engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I'll succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity because I know that a negative attitude to others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, committed to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith. My gratitude includes my thoughts and actions for become a self-reliant and successful person.
That is what I'm talking about, Mr. Andre Sanders. Hey, I think Andre did a phenomenal job. Would you agree with me? And if you would, let's give him a round.
Woohoo!
I love it. You know what I loved about it? I loved it all, but one of the parts I loved is how Andre was kind of leaving the part where it says money blank, right? In the major extra purposes by the first day of such and such, I'll have in my possession X amount of dollars, and he was kind of leaving that blank. And I've been doing that a little bit on the call when I've been doing it, just because for some people it's going to be money, and for others maybe they're working on something else, right? Maybe they're working on, you know, manifesting something else in their lives, and I think that's cool that Andre, that you did that. And I also think it's cool that we have a philosophy that's the foundation for us regardless of whatever happens in life. You know, it seems that in life, you know, like Jim Rohn says, you know, seasons of life, things come, things go, businesses rise, businesses fall, we have successes, we have failures, just all sorts of different, you know, the panorama, the scope of life is various, right? It's various, all sorts of different things happen. But you know what's cool? No matter through it all, the philosophy remains, right? Through all companies, through all setbacks, through all ups, through all downs, the philosophy remains, right? And that's what we study on this call. We study the philosophy, the study of having a purpose, the study of looking forward into the future, knowing and believing that something's better, something better is waiting, knowing that no matter what happens, if we have a down, you know, there's a seed in that down. There's something in there that we're supposed to find. And so far in my life, that's proved to be true every single time. I felt like I've been punched in the gut, and I'm lying on the ground, you know, on my knees sometimes with my face in my hands, praying to God, looking for answers, not knowing what's going on. There's always been a seed there, just like Dr. Napoleon Hill teaches us. He says, in every apparent setback lies the seed of an equal or greater advantage. So, guys, no matter what happens in life, no matter what happens in business, always remember that it's the philosophy that remains. It's the character. It's the integrity. And there are many people who believe that that remains and persists even beyond this life, right? So that's the important stuff, it seems to me. It seems to me it's the important stuff that we work on our honesty, that we work on how we think, that we work on how we treat people. And that's what we're dedicated to doing on this call every day, studying the philosophy that makes the difference. So with that, let's go ahead and continue our journey, our epic quest, as we jump into Chapter 8 of the book, Think and Grow Rich, Decision, the Mastery of Procrastination. This is the seventh step toward riches. Accurate analysis, Dr. Hill writes, of over 25,000 men and women who had experienced failure disclosed the fact that lack of decision was near the head of the list of the 30 major causes of failure. This is no mere statement of a theory. It is a fact. Procrastination, the opposite of decision, is a common enemy which practically every man must conquer. You will have an opportunity to test your capacity to reach quick and definite decisions when you finish reading this book and are ready to begin putting into action the principles which it describes. Analysis of several hundred people who had accumulated fortunes well beyond the $1 million mark disclosed the fact that every one of them had the habit of reaching decisions promptly and of changing these decisions slowly if and when they were changed. People who fail to accumulate money, without exception, have the habit of reaching decisions, if at all, very slowly and of changing these decisions quickly and often. One of Henry Ford's most outstanding qualities is his habit of reaching decisions quickly and definitely and changing them slowly. This quality is so pronounced in Mr. Ford that it has given him the reputation of being obstinate. It was this quality which prompted Mr. Ford to continue to manufacture his famous Model T, the world's ugliest car, when all of his advisors and many of the purchasers of the car were urging him to change it. Perhaps Mr. Ford delayed too long in making the change, but the other side of the story is that Mr. Mr. Ford's firmness of decision yielded a huge fortune before the change in the model became necessary. There is but little doubt that Mr. Ford's habit of definiteness of decision assumes the proportion of obstinacy, but this quality is preferable to slowness in reaching decisions and quickness in changing them. The majority of people who fail to accumulate money sufficient for their needs are generally easily influenced by the opinions of others. They permit the newspapers and the gossiping neighbors to do their thinking for them. Opinions are the cheapest commodities on earth. Everyone has a flock of opinions ready to be wished upon anyone who will accept them. If you are influenced by opinions, when you reach decisions, you will not succeed in any undertaking, much less in that of transmuting your own desire into money. If you are influenced by the opinions of others, you will have no desire of your own. Keep your own counsel when you begin to put into practice the principles described here by reaching your own decisions and following them. Take no one into your confidence except the members of your mastermind group, and be very sure in your selection of this group that you choose only those who will be in complete sympathy and harmony with your purpose. Close friends and relatives, while not meaning to do so, often handicap one through opinions and sometimes through ridicule, which is meant to be humorous. Thousands of men and women carry inferiority complexes with them all through life because some well-meaning but ignorant person destroyed their confidence through opinions or ridicule. You have a brain and mind of your own. Use it and reach your own decisions. If you need facts or information from other people to enable you to reach decisions, as you probably will in many instances, acquire these facts or secure the information you need quietly without disclosing your purpose. It is characteristic of people who have but a smattering or a veneer of knowledge to try to give the impression that they have much knowledge. Such people generally do too much talking and too little listening. Keep your eyes and ears wide open and your mouth closed if you wish to acquire the habit of prompt decision. Those who talk too much do little else. If you talk more than you listen, you not only deprive yourself of many opportunities to accumulate useful knowledge, but you also disclose your plans and purposes to people who will take great delight in defeating you because they envy you. Remember also that every time you open your mouth in the presence of a person who has an abundance of knowledge, I think this line is hilarious because it's true. Remember also that every time you open your mouth in the presence of a person who has an abundance of knowledge, you display to that person and your exact stock of knowledge or your lack of it. Genuine wisdom is usually conspicuous through modesty and silence. Keep in mind the fact that every person with whom you associate is like yourself, seeking the opportunity to accumulate money. If you talk about your plans too freely, you may be surprised when you learn that some other person has beaten you to your goal by putting into action ahead of you the plans of which you talked unwisely. Let one of your first decisions to be to keep a closed mouth and open ears and eyes. That is such a big lesson. Keep a closed mouth and open ears and eyes. As a reminder to yourself to follow this advice, it will be helpful if you copy the following epigram in large letters and place it where you will see it daily. Tell the world what you intend to do, but first show it. This is the equivalent of saying that deeds and not words are what count most. Freedom or death on a decision. The value of decisions depends upon the courage required to render them. The great decisions, which served as the foundation of civilization, were reached by assuming great risks, which often meant the possibility of death. Lincoln's decision to issue his famous Proclamation of Emancipation, which gave freedom to the colored people of America, was rendered with full understanding that his act would turn thousands of friends and political supporters against him. He knew, too, that the carrying out of that proclamation would mean death to thousands of men on the battlefield. In the end, it cost Lincoln his life. That required courage. Socrates' decision to drink the cup of poison rather than compromise in his personal belief was a decision of courage. It turned time ahead 1,000 years and gave to people then unborn the right to freedom of thought and speech. The decision of General Robert E. Lee when he came to parting of the way with the Union and took up the cause of the South was a decision of courage, for he well knew that it might cost him his own life, that it would surely cost the lives of others. But the greatest decision of all time, as far as any American citizen is concerned, was reached in Philadelphia, July 4th, 1776, when 56 men signed their names to a document which they well knew would bring freedom to all Americans or leave every one of the 56 hanging from a gallows. You have heard of this famous document, but you may not have drawn from it the great lesson in personal achievement it so plainly taught. We all remember the date of this momentous decision, but few of us realize what courage that decision required. We remember our history as it was taught. We remember dates and the names of the men who fought. We remember Valley Forge and Yorktown. We remember George Washington and Lord Cornwallis, but we know little of the real forces back of these names, dates, and places. We know still less of that intangible power which ensured us freedom long before Washington's armies reached Yorktown. We read the history of the Revolution and falsely imagine that George Washington was the father of our country, that it was he who won our freedom, while the truth is, Washington was only an accessory after the fact, because victory for his armies had been ensured long before Lord Cornwallis surrendered. This is not intended to rob Washington of any of the glory he so richly merited. Its purpose, rather, is to give greater attention to the astounding power that was the real cause of his victory. It is nothing short of tragedy that the writers of history have missed entirely, even the slightest reference to the irresistible power which gave birth and freedom to the nation destined to set up new standards of independence for all the peoples of the earth. I say it is a tragedy because it is the selfsame power which must be used by every individual who surmounts the difficulties of life and forces life to pay the price asked. Let us briefly review the events which gave birth to this power. The story begins with an incident in Boston, March 5, 1770. British soldiers were patrolling the streets, by their presence openly threatening the citizens. The colonists resented armed men marching in their midst. They began to express their resentment openly, hurling stones as well as epithets at the marching soldiers until the commanding officers gave orders. Fix bayonets! Charge! The battle was on. It resulted in the death and injury of many. The incident aroused such resentment that the provincial assembly, made up of prominent colonists, called a meeting for the purpose of taking definite action. Two of the members of that assembly were John Hancock and Samuel Adams. Long live their names. They spoke up courageously and declared that a move must be made to eject all British soldiers from Boston. Remember this. A decision in the minds of two men might properly be called the beginning of the freedom which we of the United States now enjoy. Remember, too, that the decision of these two men called for faith and courage because it was dangerous. Before the assembly adjourned, Samuel Adams was appointed to call on the governor of the province, Hutchinson, and demand the withdrawal of the British troops. The request was granted. The troops were removed from Boston, but the incident was not closed. It had caused a situation destined to change the entire trend of civilization. Strange, is it not, how the great changes, such as the American Revolution and the World War, often have their beginnings in circumstances which seem unimportant. It is interesting also to observe that these important changes usually begin in the form of a definite decision in the minds of a relatively small number of people. Few of us know the history of our country well enough to realize that John Hancock, Samuel Adams, and Richard Henry Lee of the province of Virginia were the real fathers of our country. Richard Henry Lee became an important factor in this story by reason of the fact that he and Samuel Adams communicated frequently by correspondence, sharing freely their fears and their hopes concerning the welfare of the people of their provinces. From this practice, Adams conceived the idea that a mutual exchange of letters between the 13 colonies might help to bring about the coordination of efforts so badly needed in connection with the solution of their problems.
2 years after the clash with the soldiers in Boston, March of 72, Adams presented this idea to the Assembly in the form of a motion that a correspondence committee be established among the colonies, with definitely appointed correspondents in each colony, for the purpose, and this is quote, for the purpose of friendly cooperation for the betterment of the colonies of British America, close quote. Mark well this incident. It was the beginning of the organization of the far-flung power destined to give freedom to you and to me. The mastermind had already been organized. It consisted of Adams, Lee, and Hancock. Quote, I tell you further that if two of you agree upon the earth concerning anything for which you ask, it will come to you from my Father who is in heaven. Close quote. The Committee of Correspondence was organized. Observe that this move provided the way for increasing the power of the mastermind by adding to it men from all the colonies. Take notice that this procedure constituted the first organized planning of the disgruntled colonists. In union there is strength. The citizens of the colonies had been waging disorganized warfare against the British soldiers through incidents similar to the Boston riot, but nothing of benefit had been accomplished. Their individual grievances had not been consolidated under one mastermind. No group of individuals had put their hearts, minds, souls, and bodies together in one definite decision to settle their difficulty with the British once and for all until Adams, Hancock, and Lee got together. Meanwhile, the British were not idle. They, too, were doing some planning and masterminding on their own account, with the advantage of having back of them money and organized soldiery. The Crown appointed Gage to supplant Hutchinson as the governor of Massachusetts. One of the new governor's first acts was to send a messenger to call on Samuel Adams for the purpose of endeavoring to stop his opposition by fear. We can best understand the spirit of what happened by quoting the conversation between Colonel Fenton, the messenger sent by Gage, and Adams. Colonel Fenton, quote, I have been authorized by Governor Gage to assure you, Mr. Adams, that the governor has been empowered to confer upon you such benefits as would be satisfactory. This was an endeavor to win Adams by promise of bribes. Upon the condition that you engage to cease in your opposition to the measures of the government, it is the governor's advice to you, sir, not to incur the further displeasure of his majesty. Your conduct has been such as makes you liable to penalties of Henry VIII, by which persons can be sent to England for trial by treason or misprison of treason at the discretion of a governor of a province. But by changing your political course, you will not only receive great personal advantages, but you will make your peace with the king. Close quote. Samuel Adams had the choice of two decisions. He could cease his opposition and receive personal bribes, or he could continue and run the risk of being hanged. Clearly, the time had come when Adams was forced to reach instantly a decision which could have cost his life. The majority of men would have found it difficult to reach such a decision. The majority would have sent back an evasive reply, but not Adams. He insisted upon Colonel Fenton's word of honor that the colonel would deliver to the governor the answer exactly as Adams would give it to him. Adams' answer, then you may tell Governor Gage that I trust I have long since made my peace with the King of Kings. No personal consideration shall induce me to abandon the righteous cause of my country. And tell Governor Gage it is the advice of Samuel Adams to him to no longer insult the feelings of an exasperated people. Comment as to the character of this man seems unnecessary. It must be obvious to all who read this astounding message that its sender possessed loyalty of the highest order. This is important. Racketeers and dishonest politicians have prostituted the honor for which such men as Adams died. When Governor Gates received Adams' caustic reply, he flew into a rage and issued a proclamation which read, "I do hereby in His Majesty's name offer and promise His most gracious pardon to all persons who shall forthwith lay down their arms and return to the duties of peaceable subjects, accepting only from the benefits of such pardon Samuel Adams and John Hancock, whose offenses are of too flagitious a nature to admit of any other consideration but that of condign punishment." As one might say in modern slang, Adams and Hancock were on the spot. The threat of the irate governor forced the two men to reach another decision, equally as dangerous. They hurriedly called a secret meeting of their staunchest followers. Here, the mastermind began to take on momentum. After the meeting had been called to order, Adams locked the door, placed the key in his pocket, and informed all present that it was imperative that a Congress of the colonists be organized, and that no man should leave the room until the decision for such a Congress had been reached. Great excitement followed. Some weighed the possibilities of the possible consequences of such radicalism. Old man fear. Some expressed grave doubt as to the wisdom of so definite a decision in defiance of the crown. Locked in that room were two men immune to fear, blind to the possibility of failure. Hancock and Adams. Through the influence of their minds, the others were induced to agree. Through the Correspondence Committee, arrangements should be made for a meeting of the First Continental Congress to be held in Philadelphia, September 5th, 1774. Remember this date. It is more important than July 4th, 1776. If there had been no decision to hold a Continental Congress, there could have been no signing of the Declaration of Independence. Before the first meeting of the new Congress, another leader in a very different section of the country was deep in the throes of publishing a summary view of the rights of British America. He was Thomas Jefferson of the province of Virginia. His relationship to Lord Dunmore, representative of the crown in Virginia, was as strained as that of Hancock and Adams with their governor. Shortly after his famous summary of rights was published, Jefferson was informed that he was subject to prosecution for high treason against His Majesty's government. Inspired by the threat, one of Jefferson's colleagues, Patrick Henry, boldly spoke his mind, concluding his remarks with a sentence which shall forever remain a classic. Quote, "If this be treason, then make the most of it." Close quote. It was such men as these who, without power, without authority, without military strength, without money, sat in solemn consideration of the destiny of the colonies, beginning at the opening of the First Continental Congress and continuing at intervals for 2 years until on June 7, 1776, Richard Henry Lee arose, addressed the chair, and to the startled assembly made this motion. Quote, "Gentlemen, I make the motion that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they be absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved." Lee's astounding motion was discussed fervently and at such length that he began to lose patience. Finally, after days of argument, he again took the floor and declared in a clear, firm voice, quote, "Mr. President, we have discussed this issue for days. It is the only course for us to follow. Why then, sir, do we longer delay? Why still deliberate? Let this happy day give birth to an American republic. Let her arise, not to devastate and to conquer, but to reestablish the reign of peace and of law. The eyes of Europe are fixed upon us. She demands of us a living example of freedom that may exhibit a contrast in the felicity of the citizen to the ever-increasing tyranny." Before his motion was finally voted upon, Lee was called back to Virginia because of serious family illness. But before leaving, he placed his cause in the hands of his friend, Thomas Jefferson, who promised to fight until favorable action was taken. Shortly thereafter, the president of the Congress, Hancock, appointed Jefferson as chairman of a committee to draw up a Declaration of Independence. Long and hard, the committee labored on a document which would mean, when accepted by Congress, that every man who signed it would be signing his own death warrant should the colonies lose in the fight with Great Britain, which was sure to follow. The document was drawn, and on June 28th, the original draft was read before the Congress. For several days, it was discussed, altered, and made ready. On July 4th, 1776, Thomas Jefferson stood before the assembly and fearlessly read the most momentous decision ever placed upon paper. Quote, "When in the course of human events it is necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation." When Jefferson finished, the document was voted upon, accepted, and signed by the 56 men, every one staking his own life upon his decision to write his name. By that decision came into existence a nation destined to bring to mankind forever the privilege of making decisions. By decisions made in a similar spirit of faith, and only by such decisions, can men solve their personal problems and win for themselves high estates of material and spiritual wealth. Let us not forget this. Analyze the events which led to the Declaration of Independence and be convinced that this nation, which now holds a position of commanding respect and power among all nations of the world, was born of a decision created by a mastermind consisting of 56 men. Note well the fact that it was their decision which ensured the success of Washington's armies, because the spirit of that decision was in the heart of every soldier who fought with him and served as a spiritual power which recognizes no such thing as failure. Note also, with great personal benefit, that the power which gave this nation its freedom is the self-same power that must be used by every individual who becomes self-determining. This power is made up of the principles described in this book. It will not be difficult to detect in the story of the Declaration of Independence at least six of these principles: desire, decision, faith, persistence, the mastermind, and organized planning. Throughout this philosophy will be found the suggestion that thought, backed by a strong desire, has a tendency to transmute itself into its physical equivalent. Before passing on, I wish to leave with you the suggestion that one may find in this story and in the story of the organization of the United States Steel Corporation a perfect description of the method by which thought makes this astounding transformation. In your search for the secret of the method, do not look for a miracle, because you will not find it. You will find only the eternal laws of nature. These laws are available to every person who has the faith and the courage to use them. They may be used to bring freedom to a nation or to accumulate riches. There is no charge save the time necessary to understand and appropriate them. Those who reach decisions promptly and definitely know what they want and generally get it. The leaders in every walk of life decide quickly and firmly. That is the major reason why they are leaders. The world has the habit of making room for the man whose words and actions show that he knows where he's going. Indecision is a habit which usually begins in youth. The habit takes on permanency as the youth goes through graded school, high school, and even through college without definiteness of purpose. The major weakness of all educational systems is that they neither teach nor encourage the habit of definite decision. It would be beneficial if no college would permit the enrollment of any student unless and until the student declared his major purpose in matriculating. It would be of still greater benefit if every student who enters the graded schools were compelled to accept training in the habit of decision and forced to pass a satisfactory examination on this subject before being permitted to advance in the grades. The habit of indecision, acquired because of the deficiencies of our school system, goes with the student into the cooperation he chooses, if in fact he chooses his occupation. Generally, the youth just out of school seeks any job that can be found. He takes the first place he finds because he has fallen into the habit of indecision. 98 out of every 100 people working for wages today are in the positions they hold because they lacked the definiteness of decision to plan a definite position and the knowledge of how to choose an employer. Definiteness of decision always requires courage, sometimes very great courage. The 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence staked their lives on the decision to affix their signatures to that document. The person who reaches a definite decision to procure the particular job and make life pay the price he asks does not stake his life on that decision. He stakes his economic freedom. Financial independence, riches, desirable business, and professional positions are not within the reach of the person who neglects or refuses to expect, plan, and demand these things. The person who desires riches in the same spirit that Samuel Adams desired freedom for the colonies is sure to accumulate wealth. In the chapter on organized planning, you will find complete instructions for marketing every type of personal services. You will find also detailed information on how to choose the employer you prefer and the particular job you desire. These instructions will be of no value to you unless you definitely decide to organize them into a plan of action. So, my friends, there we have the chapter on decision, and I'm not going to talk because we've gone, 35 minutes. I will just say that I am forever grateful for the decisions that Samuel Adams and John Hancock made. I'm forever grateful for that example of integrity, of not giving in to bribes, of deciding what it is that that man stood for. Man, am I grateful for that example. I'm also grateful for the decisions that they made that led to the freedom that I have of making decisions, and I'm grateful for this information that we've been given, this knowledge to know that one of the important factors of getting what we want out of life is to firmly decide what it is that we want and refuse to be moved from that. There's magic in it, my friends, and it's such an honor to read these lines to you this morning and to feel the spirit back of these lines, because there is a spirit back of these lines, isn't there? It's not just mere words written on a page. There's a spirit back of these lines, and it's when the spirit back of these lines moves into the hearts and the souls of the people reading and hearing them that they make the difference. And I hope that's happened for some of us on the call today. So let's jump into the mastermind portion of the call. I'm excited to hear your thoughts. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please, no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are a part of our community. And brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. One moment, please. Star 6, who's first? Come on out.
Hey, Paul, it's Tony.
Tony, what's up, brother?
Hey, brother, how's everybody doing? It's Friday, Freedom Friday, by the way. Hey, I love this book, but this one in particular, this chapter here regarding everything we just learned, but what came to mind to me is, isn't that why we're all doing the reason that we're even on this call, doing what we're doing, aren't we all declaring our independence in that we're here to make a change from wherever we came from and whatever we were doing? We made a decision to make that change personally. And it all starts with that burning desire. And it's just not words. It's not words of burning desire. It's a feeling that you have. It's a deep down in your gut that's burning desire. You can say burning desire all day long. You can read it, but until you really feel it and you start doing everything everything around you with purpose and feeling it, and then decision, as Dr. Hill says, decision, and then faith, persistence, the mastermind, organized planning. So that we can all reach whatever level of freedom that we all desire, wherever we're going, whatever the goal is. But to do that with feeling, just like this chapter said, that's what's important. That's where we need to come from. That's when we're going to have the results that we desire. And that's what I wanted to bring to the table today. And I love you guys.
I love it and you and love the feeling back of your words, Tony. Thank you so much for coming out and delivering that to us this morning. Star 6, who's next?
This is Q to the Rescue.
Karen Elizabeth.
Let's see. I think I heard some. Who was the lady right before Karen Elizabeth?
Q to the Rescue.
I'll wait.
Like
no problem. I'll wait. Go ahead.
Good. Okay, go ahead.
Good morning, Paul. This is Angela from New Jersey.
Angela, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. What a great chapter about having your definiteness of purpose and not allowing anyone to influence you. We all know that if you buy into anyone's opinion, you're buying into their lifestyle. So you're not to be influenced by anyone's opinion. If you go to someone who's broke asking their opinion, you're going to have a broke lifestyle by buying into whatever their opinion is. So stay on focus. Keep your mouth shut, like he says in this chapter. Really, don't discuss your plans with anyone who's not of the same mindset as you, because then your dream is lost forever. So, wonderful chapter. Thank you so much, Paul, for bringing this out today. Awesome. Thank you.
Ansel, that was brilliant. I've never heard that before. If you buy into someone else's opinion, you're buying into their lifestyle. How true that is. Great comments. Thank you so much. Was it Karen Elizabeth next?
I don't know if it was me next, but I'm here.
I'll
go to Elizabeth.
Okay, is that Elizabeth over there? Okay. Very good, very good. I'll be brief. Oh, thank you, Paul, for this reading today. I literally woke up and I was at that point of like doubt. And I said, no, I have to read my stuff. I just have to read both of my, you know, my two, at least two pages. Because, you know, it just seems that sometimes, you know, you have that dream, like these men had something they wanted to accomplish. And it, you know, it reminded me of, you know, the story in the Bible about Jesus and, you know, the disciples, and they're all in the room, they're trying to figure out what to do. You know, it just kind of reminded me of that. And then they prayed or however the scenario. But in this case, these men just gathered at the mastermind, of course, you know, had shared that. And I there are times when we are going to, you know, that doubt will rise up. And these men, I'm sure, kind of questioned, man, which decision do I make? Do I, you know, I mean, I'm sure with the whole bride thing, he realized he couldn't do that. You know, he was more, his loyalty to himself and to his cause was greater than the bride. And so I get that. And so I just want to be an encouragement to everybody that, that these men did what they did. They gathered in that room, and it was almost like they were, you know, they were just believing and praying and knowing, and then the doors opened without them, you know, forcing it. They were forcing it in their belief and in their strong desire, and then the, like I was talking about yesterday, the demand and the supply, like they were demanding in that spirit, and the supply came to them in the form of a man who made a statement and offered a suggestion for the states to be, you know, independent. And so I just want to encourage people to not give up, because we are going to be tested to see, you know, just how much we do believe. And I don't know who tests us. I don't know how that works. I just know that it comes. So you just be steadfast. And I encourage you that things for all of us are on the way to becoming great for all of us. So back to you, Paul.
Wow. Love it, Karen Elizabeth. Thank you so much. Who was the other lady coming out there with Karen Elizabeth right before?
Kim Q?
Yeah, who's that?
Kim Q? Q's to the rescue?
Go ahead. Welcome. Oh.
All right. That was awesome, Karen Elizabeth. Sorry, I was trying to come out and also eat my breakfast at the same time. So we kept talking over each other. So sorry about that. But I'm going to go back to earlier in the call when you started reading and you were talking about listening. I think I forget exactly what the verbiage was, but right after the procrastination part, you were talking about how it's better to listen. We have one mouth and two ears and really just be present when you're conversing with someone. And I'm, you know, in discussing things with people that have the same type of mindset as you, you hear little things and sayings that help you remember certain things, like especially on this call. And I was speaking with my mom about that topic of just trying to be present in conversations. And she told me about, she told me just to remember the word wait. And she said that someone told her that wait kind of sort of stands for, why am I talking? So now every time I'm talking to someone, if I want to jump in because I don't want to forget what I'm saying or whatever the case may be, I always remember in my head, wait, why am I talking? And I just try to listen to them first before I speak. And that one word, wait, has helped me greatly with that. So when you said that this morning, I was like, oh, yes, that goes back to the wait thing. So I just wanted to share that. Thanks so much, Paul.
Oh, so good. Thank you. Hadn't heard that one either. So powerful. Star 6 is next. Come on out. Hey, I think we got, I think I heard Pass and Kimberly from Florida, maybe?
You can let them go first. There's enough time. I can wait.
Okay. Thanks, Pass. Was that Kimberly?
This is Kimberly. How are you this morning, Paul?
Hey, doing awesome. So great to hear you on the call this morning.
It's great to hear your voice, my friend, and it's so wonderful to hear from all of the mastermind that we have here at this Think and Grow Rich call each morning, and this morning has been no exception to that. There have been some powerful distinctions shared in the reading and from other callers as well, which I have been noting really enthusiastically, because I just feel like I get moved forward so powerfully from these ideas that we share together. I was thinking during the reading that these guys, you know, they didn't set out with the intention of sparking a revolution. They set out with the intention of establishing a colonial government subject to the crown that they would be able to have the experience of a powerful and profitable new world. And when they were faced with the reality that that wasn't going to come to pass in the way that they imagined, that's when they began to take stock and say, we need to make a change. We need to do something differently. Our original conception of how this was going to play out has not come to fruition, and no amount of negotiating an equitable resolution is happening. And so we need to act in a drastic manner to get this to have the characteristics that we as this colonial entity prefer versus what we're faced with. And I thought about that in home business. You know, we have that, we get faced with that from time to time. The ideas are good, the concepts are good, but they don't always play out as we envision. And so if we're committed to the principles versus the rhetoric, the hype, the you know, fancy sales talk, if we're committed to the principles underlying them, then we are free to choose differently when those situations present themselves and we know we have to move forward. So it's a very freeing situation to be committed to your principles, to live a principled life and be practiced in that. That way you're free to know that you're moving forward, so you can move forward with that level of certainty that gives you the decisive action that yields the positive, powerful results in our life. It was a very powerful reading, and I like the way it ties into that. If you buy into the opinions, you buy into the lifestyle. That's the similar way of saying, you know, you can't choose your outcomes. You can choose the actions, but you're choosing whatever the outcomes are along with them. And so I have been powerfully moved by this chapter and look forward to hearing the rest of the comments of the callers.
Kimberly, I'm so grateful for you. I literally got chills listening to you speak. Just amazing. So grateful to be associated with you and others. Thank you. Pass.
Well,
go ahead.
Good morning, my friend. Paul, Mr. Hutchins. How are you?
Hey, Rick, I'm doing awesome, man. We actually had Pass just behind Kimberly, if you don't mind. He was kind of
waiting. He's just followed up. I can wait one more. All right.
Take it away, Rick. Good morning, Mr.
Oh, Martin. Wow, man. Okay, fantastic, my friends. Hey, you know, I had to come out and speak on this topic this morning because the decisions those guys make are no ordinary decision. The decisions they made has affected our lives for centuries. They have decided at that moment in time they'd rather take the chance of dying than to be conquered by others, outside forces. And when you make a decision that you will conquer yourself, probably the most important decision you can make is deciding that you want to be the master of yourself rather than being conquered by self. Just think about the decision don't only affect the lives of Americans, but affect the lives of people all over the world. So with that, Mr. Hutchins, back to you, and have a day filled with opulence.
Great thoughts as always, Rick. Appreciate you, my friend. Pass, thanks for your patience.
Oh, Paul, you know I love this group, so I could always be patient. Paul, how are you today?
I'm fired up, man.
Oh, man, I'm so blessed and highly favored. It's funny. As I listened to this story, it reminded me of what I just went through in the last couple of days. I was part of a Facebook group that had 20,000 members in it that supported the type of business that I run. And I was kicked out of the group 2 days ago. I was kicked out of the group 2 days ago for speaking the truth about the hypocrisy that this group was doing. They said they were helping us, but they were actually making money on the back end that had nothing to do with what their mission was. So what happened was someone else decided to tag me in the post that they had going on with the founders of the group and said, you know, you guys are threatened by Paz Simpson and him helping out this group and not asking for any money. And I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm over here working my business, doing what I'm supposed to. And I come back in, and what I did was, instead of addressing what was going on, I offered a prayer. Because as a happiness engineer, the first thing I want to do is find peace. I offered a prayer. And the guy got so offended by my prayer, he said, F you, how dare you tag me and kick me out of this group. We had to make a decision at that moment. Were we going to just sit back and allow this to happen, or were we going to do something different? Immediately, the lady who tagged me in the post said, Paz, I need you to step up and be a leader. 24 hours later, we have a whole new group. Now, it's been 72 hours total. We have 600 businesses in this new group that are working together, moving in harmony, and it's all been a blessing. Sometimes when we're doing things and we're doing things the right way, God doesn't always ask us to make a decision, doesn't always give us a chance to make a decision. Sometimes God makes the decision for us, and we got to just go with the flow. We got to flow with the water. We got to smile with the wind, and we got to just continue moving forward. And I just say that because some of us go through things right now, and you may have been kicked out of something. You may have been abused by someone, and you may feel like that might have been a bad thing. But let me tell you something. That was a blessing. The blessing was there, and you just had to grab it. You had to smile, and you had to embrace it. Because in us making the decision, literally 72 hours later, we have 700 businesses working together, all types of businesses, and we're all smiling. And that other group is falling apart because they weren't doing it for the right reasons. So I just say, every chance you get, don't just make a decision. Make a decision with your smile on your face. Make a decision with your heart and know that you are in a great place, because we not only think and grow rich, we act to become wealthy. So on this fantastic Friday, I hope each and every one of you have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. I love you guys.
Good stuff, Pass, as always, man. Thank you so much. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hi, Paul. It's Lisa Scott.
Hey, good morning, Lisa Scott.
Good morning. First, I want to thank the Think and Grow Rich team, members, family, for your support yesterday. It really meant so much to me on my 18th anniversary. So thank you so much, Paul, for giving me a shout-out yesterday at the Think and Grow Rich family. I was, based on what Rick Martin and Taz just said, it really caused me to go deep inside of myself in terms of the decision that I have made as a coach who assists people to pay attention to their greatest potential, to assist people to bring out their greatest potential of who they are on the face of this earth. I often wonder, you know, what it is that drives me outside of the fact that I just love people. And when I heard Rick Martin talking about and surmising the story that you read, and he said that the decision that the gentleman made was something that impacts all of us and has impacted, you know, this world for centuries, it really touched my heart when he said that, because I understand my drive and my passion to do what it is that I do, and the fact that, you know, for the past 4 years, you know, I have been challenged to go deeper and deeper into understanding, you know, what it is I do, the major and definite purpose of it, the 100% resonance of what it is that I do, you know, in my heart. And when he talked about how, you know, our decision impacts people for centuries, it just really touched my heart, because I said, wow, this is why I do what I do, and this is why I cannot be moved from the decision that I've made to assist people to uncover and really understand their greatest potential, you know, as human beings on the face of this earth. So I just wanted to step out and thank Rick Martin and Pat with the passion that they delivered, you know, what they said. It really touched my heart, and I just wanted to stop by and say thank you to them for that, because it caused me to go a little bit deeper. Thank you, everybody. Back to you, Paul.
Hey there, Paul. Declan from the UK.
Lisa Scott, really appreciate those amazing comments, and isn't it so true? The decisions we make, literally, who knows where the ripple effects are. I think I heard Declan. Was that Declan from the UK?
Yeah.
Hey, good morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm myself over again. Oh, man, I tell you what, this thing just recent chilled through my spine for two reasons. The first reason was when I went to Philadelphia and I actually stood inside the room of where that declaration was signed. And you could just feel the power of the bravery of these men that were standing up to the world's biggest power at the time, just like saying, we won't be moved. We will be our own people. And that was just incredible. But a thing that I got out of today, which I hadn't got out before, was the amazing reply of Samuel Adams to the British governor, when the governor said, if you do blah, 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 you'll make peace with the king. And Samuel Adams replying, I was blown away by this. I have already made peace long ago with the King of Kings. Now, there's few things that can contain more power than that. And I just wanted to come out and say hallelujah for that. That's just amazing. So,
man. I agree. Gotta be the most epic lines. Epic. Epic.
They really were, weren't they? Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you, Declan. I appreciate you highlighting that again. Who is next?
Sharon from New Jersey.
Sharon, good morning. Go ahead. Welcome.
Good morning, family. Good morning, Paul. What I really see with this chapter is something so very touching when we're making decisions. The decisions of Adam, Lee, and Hancock were not short-term. They had a long-term vision. They knew that the decision that they were going to make was going to affect the country long after they had left the world. This is why they went in that room, and he locked the door, and he put it in his pocket is what I envisioned, and basically said, we're not going to leave this room until you make a decision. It was remarkable to also see that there were six principles that were followed and used by these men and their mastermind team, and it was desire, decision, faith, persistence, and organized planning. What an example that they have left for us to follow when they say follow the right copycat that left the principles for us to follow. That's my share.
Love it, Sharon. Thank you so much. So powerful. We've got one minute left. Anyone for a quick one before we close it out?
Yes.
Yeah. Who's that? Who's the lady there?
Kathy from Idaho. Yeah.
Kathy, go ahead.
I will just really quick. There is a book out called John Adams, The American Revolution. And I didn't know about this book until I went to my cousin, my mom's cousin, Grant Gerber, passed away a little while back. And that he studied that book and lived his life by that book. He did business by that book. And it was just such a powerful book. Everybody who talked about him said, if you want to get to know your cousin, read that book. If you want to know about the American Revolution and all of these people, I was just so impressed with it. And I regretfully haven't read the book yet, but I just really grateful for this call that reminded me that I said, yeah, I'm going to do that. So a lot of great things out there. Thanks so much to this team. I love this call. Love this, the unity that we feel in this family. So thank you so much, Paul, for all you do for us and all of the team. Have a great day.
Thank you, Kathy, and thanks to everyone for being on the call and helping me get fired up this morning with, the mutual energy and enthusiasm and excitement for these principles. Guys, let's get out there and make it a great day. Let's continue believing that better things are waiting for us. Let's continue deciding and sticking with the important decisions in life. One right at the top of the list, I believe, is deciding what it is that you want out of life and going for it. Plans may change, strategies may change, but you just continue going for what you want. I believe you have a great day. We'll see y'all back here tomorrow morning on the Thinking Great. Or actually, no, not tomorrow. Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye for now.
Happy Friday.
Bye.
Love everyone. Good call. Great
amen
call
to that.
Great leader, bud.
Great call.
Wait, what am I talking? I love it.
Dallas,
I love it.
Great.
Thank
Dallas,
you so
Texas
much for that nugget.
Dallas, Texas.
Love you guys. Have a great day.
Dallas,
I love
Texas.
Hey there, my friend, this is Paul Hutchings, and I want to thank you sincerely for listening to this week's edition of the Think and Grow Rich Call podcast. For more information on our community, to learn how you can listen to these calls daily and get the full panorama of all of the content and daily motivation and inspiration that we engage in, and to learn how you can connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs like yourself, feel free to visit our website, our home on the web at www.growrichaudios.com. Again, that's growrichaudios.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, feel free to visit my website, pipelinemoney.com. Again, that's www.pipelinemoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and whatever you do, never give up on your dreams. Take care, and bye for now.